Amen. Praise the Lord for the opportunity to be in church tonight. I hope your heart's been blessed already just by being in the Lord's house. Mine certainly has. If you'll turn your Bibles to Luke chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10. This is a passage and a thought and a message that God has laid on my heart a few months ago and had never given me peace about preaching it and the opportunities I've had since then, but it was he gave me the green light this time. And so it's a message I've never preached before. Not that any of them are ones I've preached before here, but anyways, Luke chapter number 10, and I know this is what God has for us tonight. I'm excited about what he has in his word. Mark chapter number 10, we'll draw our attention to verse number 38. I keep saying Mark, it's Luke. Luke chapter 10, I promise. I hear pages rustling. All right, here we go. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. I want to preach a message tonight out of Luke chapter number 10. One thing is needful. Father, we come before you tonight, and we just come with humble and thankful hearts just for the opportunity, the freedoms we have, Lord, to meet on a Wednesday night, Father, with fellow believers and gather in a called-out assembly around your word. And Father, we just thank you for that opportunity to do so tonight. Lord, I pray we would never take that for granted. And Lord, I pray as we sit here tonight, Father, we would put out of our mind the things that are distracting us or that might be weighing on our hearts, Lord, and put our focus and our heart into what you have for us from your word tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would just bind the devil from distracting anyone in this room. And again, Lord, I ask that our hearts and our minds would be solely upon you and your word. I've got nothing of myself to offer, Lord, or to say, but I pray that you would just use me, Lord, as an instrument in your hand. Father, this is your word and your message, and I pray, God, that you would just fill me with your spirit. And Lord, give me exactly what needs to be said tonight. Lord, I pray that you would take this word and plant it deep in our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would bless now this time together around your word. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. One thing is needful. Just last week, we had the opportunity, 13 of us from our church, to go to Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. And it was just the second time I've ever been to Washington, D.C. First time I went was 2 years ago. So I'm not all that familiar with how to navigate Washington, D.C., where to go, what to do, things of that sort. And so as I began to go and be there and spend time there and do everything that needed to be done to make meetings and to contact people and have conversations, I found that one thing I had was needful. There's one thing that I had in my possession that turned out to be very needful, and that was my cell phone. Now, I don't know how you guys did it back in the olden days, but I couldn't imagine going to Washington, D.C. without my cell phone. It's amazing. I could just punch in the address of where we're going. The first place we went was the Lincoln Memorial. So when we sat in the parking lot here at Lighthouse Baptist Church, I just typed it in, Lincoln Memorial, start. And there we go. We're on the road. Tells me exactly how long it's going to take, if there's any traffic along the way, how many miles are left, and about what time I'll arrive. That's a great thing. You know, as we're going along the way, one of the things people could do on their phones, and we would try to discuss this and try to figure out, where are we going to eat? Now, I don't know about you. It's hard enough for just my wife and I to decide where we're going to have a meal. You put 10 people in a van and try to decide where you're going to eat. It's a difficult thing. Everybody's pulling up their phones. Well, there's this restaurant, there's this one here, there's this, that. And then we pulled off and found a place where there was a couple spots and they could walk and get what they wanted. And as we got closer to Washington, D.C., one of the things you had to do was park. And parking is very limited in Washington, D.C. And so you would park, and one of the things you can do with your phone now is pay for your parking. So they say a two-hour limit, and I say, ha, I can pay on my phone. I'll park as long as I want. And so I'd go off, and then every couple hours when my time would expire, I'd pull out my phone and make a payment just for my phone to pay for my car or for the church van to be parked right where it was at. It was an amazing thing. The other thing I could do, and this seems like what we use our phones so little for anymore, is I could pick up and call Brian and say, hey, you've been here before. Where am I supposed to go? Where should I park? What should I be doing? And I probably talked a total of 5 minutes on the phone the whole week in D.C. But I could do that if I wanted to. I could send text messages. I could check the time. I could see what the weather is going to be and how much snow we were going to have on Monday night. And it was very important for us to have this. It was there. It was a needful thing to have. It was an important thing to have. To have my cell phone with me was critical. It helped me, again, to stay on task and to get where I needed to go. I could pull it out and take pictures with it. That's amazing. I could plug it in and listen to a book as I'm driving. We could use it to stream basketball games to watch on the way back. I kept my eyes on the road, of course. And then they were watching the basketball game. I may have glanced over once or twice. But we could do those things. It was an amazing tool to have. That was a needful thing. But I'll tell you this, there was something even more needful than that. But you're going to have to wait to the conclusion to hear that. Now, as we think about that, it's something we read in the passage about a needful thing. A needful thing. Jesus here is talking to Mary and to Martha, and he's at their house, and he tells them that one thing is needful. Here we find that Jesus, he's traveled again, as was the case. He was on the move often, going to cities and villages alike, and of course, preaching and teaching everywhere he went. And he's coming here, as the Bible says in verse number 38, now it came to pass as they went that they entered into a certain village. And we know, based on who was in this village and the house that he was at with Lazarus and Mary and Martha, that he was in the village of Bethany. Bethany would be at the base of the Mount of Olives. It would be along the road that's commonly traveled between Jericho and Jerusalem, and it'd be a frequent stopping place for the Lord Jesus Christ. There are several instances in Scripture where he would stop in the village of Bethany. You may be familiar with Mary washing the feet or anointing the feet of Jesus with the spikenard. And that happened there in Bethany when Jesus saw the fig tree that was without figs and cursed it. That was there in Bethany. It was here in Bethany that Jesus would later return and call Lazarus from the dead. It was here in Bethany that after Jesus' own death and resurrection, he would return with the disciples and give them one final word as he ascended into the clouds. And so this village of Bethany was important, but the reason why it was important to him was because of who was there and the people that were there. And this was a place that he liked to frequent because Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were there. Martha, as we read here, invites Jesus into her house, as it says in verse 38. It says, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And the indications from this passage, and we'll talk more about this in a minute, are that it was not a prearranged meeting, that it was more or less he stopped along the way, knocked on the door and said, do you mind if I stay a while? They invited him. She received him into his house. And Martha here is the older sister to Mary and to Lazarus. We know that because this was her home, that she was the manager of the household. Mary, being the younger sister, would later anoint Jesus before his burial. And then, of course, we're all familiar with Lazarus, whom Jesus would resurrect from the dead. These three siblings were disciples and dear friends of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bible tells us in John chapter 11, verse number 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. The Bible records specifically that he loved them. His love was so deep that at the point in John chapter number 11, in verse number 35, and seeing their grief and Mary and Martha's grief over the death of Lazarus and their partial unbelief, and seeing that moved the Lord Jesus Christ to tears. And the verse we're all familiar with, John 11, 35, Jesus wept. He was moved with love for these people, for Mary and for Martha. Now with Jesus in the house, we see the sisters assume two very different roles. They don't stand in contrast of one another. They stand in comparison of one another. We see Martha here is hard at work. She's making everything as perfect as she can for her Savior. She not only loved the Lord, but was the first to believe that he could resurrect Lazarus from the dead. If you would read in John chapter number 11, when she hears Jesus is coming, after waiting 4 days, when it was just a short distance from where he was, waiting 4 days to show up, then Martha is the first to run out and to greet the Lord Jesus Christ and coming and saying, if you'd been here 4 days ago, you wouldn't have died. But she was the one that believed that God could bring him back from the dead. She had that faith. And so that's Martha there. And as she's hard at work serving the Lord as a guest in her house, she notices her sister isn't helping. Instead, we find Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening as Jesus teaches. Martha calls Jesus' attention to this fact, and Jesus reveals to her an important truth that is just as true today. He says there in verse number 41, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. Now, that's important because when you see this in Scripture, the repeating of a name or the repeating of a word, verily, verily, something of that sort, it shows Jesus Christ his deep love and his concern for what's about to be said or what's about to happen. This repetition of a word or name by Jesus shows the careful attention to a point that he's about to make. He wants to make sure that he has Martha's heart. He's about to make a point to her. He's about to help her understand something. He wants to make sure she understands and that she's paying attention. I'm reminded of Jesus when he talked to Peter, when he knew that Peter was going to betray him in Luke chapter number 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And then I'm reminded also in Acts chapter number 9 in verse number 4, when Saul was on the road to Damascus and he was struck down by the blinding light, and the Lord Jesus stopped him in his tracks and said to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And here the Lord is making a point as well with Martha all listening to what he's about to say. Martha's tied up and concerned about many things, as he says here. And the rebuke Jesus offers here is not that she had, not because of the concern she had for these many other things. He tells her this in verse number 41, and Jesus answered and said unto Martha, and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. He's telling her that one thing is needful, one thing is necessary, one thing is required, and Mary has chosen it. What Jesus is teaching us is that worship is more important than service. Now, don't misunderstand Jesus, okay? He wasn't saying that service isn't important at all, and neither am I. That's not what's being said here. But I want us to understand something tonight, that we can't walk away here thinking that service isn't necessary, because it most certainly is. But as Jesus revealed, that one thing is needful, and that's worship. That's worship, to take some time and sit at the feet of Jesus. You know, Jesus was not going to ask Mary to forsake worship for the sake of service. He wasn't going to tell her to get up from my feet and go serve in the kitchen with Martha. It wasn't going to happen. Now, if we're truthful tonight, we've all been guilty of this at some point. In the midst of our serving, we forgot to worship. Or in the midst of our serving, we've placed more emphasis on the serving than on the worship. We serve, and sometimes we can't help ourselves but to serve. But we should never be serving more than we are worshiping. And when we look here in this passage, I want us to see something tonight about Martha. We're going to look at some things about Martha tonight and give ourselves some very obvious clues or some signs that our worship is lacking, and that maybe we are placing the service of the Lord, although a very good thing, above the worship of God. I want you to see this. When you fail to prioritize worship over service, the first thing is this: you'll be distracted. You'll be distracted. Look at verse number 40. The Bible says this in verse number 40, but Martha was cumbered about. Cumbered about. It says in verse number 40 that she was cumbered. To cumber means to distract. To distract. So we could say that here is Martha in the kitchen serving, and the Bible tells us that by her serving, She was distracted. She was distracted. So when we look at this, I want you to understand the first thing with her being distracted is that she was distracted by what was good. By what was good. Her serving was a good thing. Let's not sit here tonight and act like her serving God was a bad thing here. She was simply distracted by what was good. She was serving. Serving the Lord is important. That shouldn't need belaboring tonight. That should be something that we all can stand and agree with. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel chapter number 12, verse 24, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you." And then 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." It's a good thing that she was serving the Lord. Nobody disputes that. We don't look at this and say, well, that's just terrible that she would serve the Lord. Such an awful thing. That's not going to be said. That's not the way we would look at that. No one, not even Jesus, would dispute that her serving was a good thing. I'll tell you this, when it comes to serving the Lord, it's a necessary part of the Christian life. That's just a part of it. Serving the Lord is a part of the Christian life. He's commanded me to do it. But I'll tell you, not only is it a necessary part of it, it's a natural part. Listen, if we are truly endeared to our Lord Jesus Christ and are thankful for what he's done for us, we can't help but to serve him. That's all I have to offer him anyways, is my life and my service to him. And so that should be a natural part that I just can't help. I want to serve the Lord. It's a very good thing to serve the Lord. And with the surprise visit, this is understandable. As I said before, I don't believe that this was a predetermined notice given long in advance that he was going to show up. I believe that part of her service was because of the surprise visit of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask you this. What would you do if Jesus showed up at your house right now while you're sitting here? Some of you are like, oh my goodness. I was thinking about that today as we were filming skits. I felt terrible for Hallie that we just kind of surprised her and said, hey, we're coming over to shoot skits. And I can't imagine what it was like. And her house was immaculate when we went in. There was nothing out of place. It was perfect. One thing we were told is we can't go upstairs to the laundry room. Okay, that's no big deal. But you can imagine that you hear somebody's coming over. You're not prepared. You guys know what that's like when you get the news that someone's stopping by or they knock on the door. You're running frantically. I remember as a kid one time, Pastor surprised our house with a visit. He knocked on the door. And it was like a mad dash. We all took off running. I was like in fifth grade. It was like run, run. And the one thing we had to do was hide the ashtrays. You know, don't want the pastor to know my dad and mom smoke. Well, like you could hide it. But that's what we were doing. It's like running around crazy and stuffing stuff under couches and beds and throwing it in closets. And he's standing on the porch just helplessly waiting for us to open the door. But that's the surprise visit. And we can understand this is natural that Martha's going to feel this way. It's a good thing. We'd want her to pick up her house for the Lord Jesus. We want her to prepare a little meal for him to eat. We would want those things. That's a good thing. Her motives are right. She had great love and respect for the Lord. Everything she was doing was for him after all. Colossians 3 verse 23 says this, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." This is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. But I'll tell you this, that she was distracted by what was good, and by being distracted by what was good, she was distracted from what was best. You guys understand that tonight? She's doing a good thing. Serving the Lord is a really good thing. But by her distraction of serving the Lord, she was being distracted from the best thing, and that was worshiping at his feet. Worshiping at his feet. The most important thing is to sit at the feet of Jesus. Psalm 27:4, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." The psalmist saying the one thing is to be in the house of the Lord, to worship God. That's the one thing. John chapter number 4, verse 23, "But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." God wants to be worshipped. Verse 24, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." And so although serving God is very, very important, it is not the most important thing. The most important thing is to worship him. And sitting at someone's feet signifies that you're their student or their follower. You know, if you would, we won't take time to look there, but in Luke chapter number 8, when the maniac at Gadara is saved and has the demons, the legion of demons cast out of him and goes into the swine, and the swine go off the cliff into the sea, and the city comes out to see him, the Bible says that you'll find that man sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. There he was at the feet of Jesus. The moment he was saved, he recognized the most important thing now was to sit at his feet. You know, Paul, when Paul would give his testimony in Acts in chapter number 22, he would talk about one of the things he was proud of as far as his heritage was is that he got to sit at the feet of Gamaliel, his teacher. And that was a renowned teacher at that time, especially for Jews growing up in the Roman Empire. And so we understand that sitting at someone's feet is a sign of your being their student or follower. And that idiom would be true as well today. Someone, you may say, well, they sat at the feet of so-and-so, or that person, they sat at the feet of so-and-so. That's who trained them. That's who they were raised by. That's who they learned from. Can I say this tonight? This is not a case of what is good and what is bad. This is a case of what is good and what is best. It's good to serve the Lord, but it's best to worship Him. And we cannot let serving the Lord distract us from worshiping Him. Jesus Himself said it was needful. It was necessary. It was required. Now listen, as I'm saying that, I'm not trying to degrade or to downplay the importance of serving at all. Because that's an important thing. We'll talk about that towards the end of the message. But we have to see here that Martha herself, because she is valuing service over worship, has now been distracted from the main thing. And that was to worship the Lord. Not only was she distracted, I see the second thing is that Martha was discouraged. She was discouraged. By valuing service over worship, she was discouraged. Look at verse number 40. It says, but Martha was cumbered about much serving. Good thing, it's serving. And it says, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. You know, there's joy in serving the Lord, but Martha wasn't experiencing that. As I read this, I don't see this as a joyful overtone and such giddiness and happiness and a go-lucky spirit and a pep in her step as she's going to talk to the Lord. That's not what I gather at all. I think that here she is as she's serving and she's trying to serve the Lord, and instead Mary's just sitting at the feet of Jesus worshiping, that now she has found herself discouraged. So much so that she approaches the Lord Jesus Christ. She could have been discouraged because maybe she felt like it went unnoticed. I'm sure she had been stewing over this and debating on what to do about it. I'm sure she was crashing dishes a little bit louder than normal and maybe making a little more commotion than she probably would have in a normal instance. Just wondering, is Jesus going to notice this, that here I am and Mary's sitting at his feet? Is he ever going to say something about this? And as she's doing that, it's not that she wanted recognition from Christ. It's that she wanted Christ to rebuke her sister. I just wish that somebody would say something to her and she'd come in here and help me serve the Lord. And there's been times where I'm sure we felt that way, where we're serving, we're working away, and not so much that we want to be noticed, but we think that someone else should be doing it with us. That's the wrong mindset. That's the wrong mentality. It's not standing there saying, well, you know, it's not being noticed. It's not having attention called to it. She chooses to interrupt Jesus and his teaching with this simple question. Think about this. The Bible says very clearly that Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him teach, and as he's teaching, I believe this is what happened, is that Martha comes and interrupts. Now, I don't think she comes barging in and speaks out and starts giving a piece of her mind or anything like that, but I imagine her walking in something like this and kind of just raising her hand like, can you give me just a minute to say something? And if you'll put it very, if you'll chop up this sentence and just look at this part of this question right here, this is the one that struck me, that here she is, she's serving, she approaches Jesus and asks him this question, dost thou not care? Think about that. Came to Jesus. Don't you care? I'm here serving. Mary's sitting at your feet. She's not serving with me. Don't you care? Wow, To ask a question like that, don't you care? Dost thou not care? It's a revealing question that Martha felt as if Jesus didn't care about what was going on. Why is this happening? Why is she discouraged? Because she has valued serving the Lord over worshiping the Lord. She thought everyone should be doing what she was doing. Our servants isn't done to be noticed, but I'll tell you this, we'll be discouraged with the lack of notice when we place it above worship. Well, I'm not getting the recognition I think I should have. I'm not getting the speak from the pulpit. Nobody's patting me on the back. Nobody's saying anything. And I'm telling you, we'll find ourselves quite discouraged when we have put more emphasis in our heart and in our mind on serving the Lord above worshiping Him. We're all working together. I want you to understand that your ministry is important to you. I get it, as well as it should be. But your ministry is not the most important ministry in the church. I want everybody to understand, yes, it should be important. I want to pour my heart and my soul into the Awana ministry, or into the bus ministry, or into the music ministry, or into the teaching ministry, or to whatever ministry God has called me to be part of. But I'll tell you that, it's not the most important ministry. The most important ministry that takes place in the church is what's done behind this pulpit, the preaching and teaching of God's Word. I'm telling you this, if it ever came to the point where we had to cut out the music, where we had to cut out the nurseries, we had to cut out the junior church and the Sunday schools, and we had to cut out the bus ministry, I'm telling you this, we could still have church as long as we had the preaching of God's Word and the opportunity to worship. And now all those things work together. They all are a part of God's plan to help the church and to grow and to worship Him. It's all important. But I want us to understand tonight that the most important thing is the worship of Him. She felt unnoticed. I think she also felt alone. As she mentioned there in verse number 40, she says, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone?" Not only did she feel unnoticed, but she felt alone. She told Jesus that she was serving alone. Now, count with me. How many people were in this house that we know of? Well, there's Mary, there's Martha, and there's Jesus. Well, we know where Jesus is, sitting down. We know where Mary is, at his feet, hearing him teach. And we know where Martha is, in the kitchen, serving alone. Do you think she had to tell the Lord that I'm serving alone in the kitchen? Or I'm serving alone? That wasn't necessary. But again, I think it revealed where her heart was at. And I'm telling you that this is one of the dangers that we fall into as we begin to get discouraged and we begin to place that service of the Lord above the worshiping, is that sometimes we can feel like I'm the only one. I'm the one that's always in the nursery. I'm the one that always gets called on for specials. I'm the one that is always on the bus visiting by myself. I'm the only one. And I'm telling you, as we look at this tonight and we understand something tonight, we realize that when we place the importance, when we place the service of the Lord above the worship of Him, we'll find ourselves often being discouraged. But when we serve the Lord, can I tell you, you're never truly alone? Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20, I love it, the Great Commission, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." What a great promise. To look at that and say, God is always going to be with me. If I find myself feeling alone, part of the problem might be because I'm discouraged of what's going on and placing the service above God, above the worship of Him. But also I have to recognize that with God, I'm never truly alone. Then the last thing is this, very quickly, verse 41. Not only was she distracted, not only was she discouraged, but Jesus tells us that she was distressed. Look at verse 41. Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." Careful and troubled about many things. Having Jesus present should have been the most peaceful and meaningful part of her day. Instead, because she valued service over worship, she found herself distressed. Jesus, as he showed his tender love and care for Martha, pointed out that she was careful about many things. To be careful is to be anxious or full of thought. As Mary is peacefully worshiping at Jesus' feet, Martha is worried about her service to the Lord. It wasn't that she had more going on than she could handle. It wasn't that she couldn't get everything done. It wasn't any of that. She had simply misplaced her priorities, failing to value worship over service. Again, let me reiterate that service to the Lord is a good thing, but it shouldn't be an overwhelmingly stressful thing. That should be a sign right there. If in my service to the Lord I'm stressed out, then I need to step back, because I might just have put that service of the Lord above the worship of Him, above sitting at His feet. And that's what we see right here in what should have been a joyous thing. She's finding herself stressed out. The Bible says that she's troubled. Not only is she stressed about it, but it's troubling her. So much to the point, as we've already talked about, she interrupted the Lord. I'm sure that her tone and her countenance was affected by it. You can look again at the question she asked. And I'll tell you, stress will take its toll on you. We've come through the series in Overcoming Stress, and I appreciated that and all the pastors put there, and I'm not going to reiterate any of that, but Jesus should be helping us remove stress from our life, not add to it. Here's Jesus Christ in her house. His very presence should be taking away the stress that she is experiencing. Instead, because of her misplaced priorities, it's putting more stress on her. We have to see that as a problem. If, again, in my service to the Lord, that it's causing me more stress than it's relieving, then I'm not doing enough worshiping. And I'll tell you that the answer is not to serve less. The answer is to worship more. Listen to Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So as you're sitting here tonight, I hope we understand and we see there is no doubt that our worship of the Lord needs to be placed above our service of Him. Not that the service of the Lord is any less important, but the most important thing is to worship. The more needful thing is to worship. Can I tell you tonight, if you're experiencing the distraction, discouragement, or distress that we just mentioned, then you've been guilty of the same thing as Martha. Or yeah, you might be serving the Lord, but you're missing opportunities to sit at His feet. Our intentions and heart might be in the right place, but we need to worship. So what can be done about it? Look at verse number 42, and we'll finish. Verse 42, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. Jesus reveals something to us about Mary. He said that she had chosen the good part. She very well may know what Martha was up to. They may have even discussed it beforehand. Jesus knocks on the door. Martha opens it, eyes wide open, closes it. Mary, Jesus is here. We've got to clean up the house. You've got to help me. Opens the door back out and lets Jesus in. It's probably something they had talked about. But when the opportunity to worship presented itself, she made the choice to worship. Ultimately, we make the choice. Sure, the church tries to help as much as we can. We try to make sure, especially when it comes to scheduling things like junior church and nursery and walking the halls, that those things aren't overlapping so much to where people are missing too much church or out of too many services. And sometimes it's necessary if someone's missed quite a bit because of illness or something else going on, we may ask them just to pull back and spend some time at Jesus' feet and to worship Him. We try to help as much as we can. But as I said, ultimately, we make the choice. I know everyone wants to be helpful, but it's okay to say, no, I need some time to worship. No one would ever argue that. Mary made the choice to worship. Again, I'm not saying we'll walk out of here and say, done with serving the Lord. I'm just going to worship Him. That's not the answer. We have to make that choice to worship Him. This is so important because, as Pastor shares, we have to take in before we can give out. Before you can ever effectively serve the Lord and others, you need to be properly fed spiritually yourself. If I'm going to give out, I've got to make sure I'm taken in. You know, I talked about at the beginning the needful thing that I had in Washington, D.C. and my cell phone. But there was something more important than my cell phone. And that was this: the ability to charge the battery in my cell phone. Without that, it would have lasted about a half a day, and I'd be out. I'm sure you guys know this. The cell phone itself, if you look at it, it has no power in and of itself. The only power in that cell phone resides in a battery. That battery does not produce power. It doesn't magically just make the power come out. All that battery does, it stores the power that comes from another source. I want you to understand something tonight. We can serve the Lord, but if we serve the Lord at the expense of worshiping Him, that battery's going to run out, because the power's not in me. I'm just simply a battery that's storing someone else's power, and it's necessary for me to plug in to that power source and get the power necessary to continue to operate and to serve the Lord, and that's done through worship. Not just on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. We can do that every single day. Sit at the feet and worship Him. 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. One thing is needful, and that's to sit at the feet of Jesus. I'd like to have every head bowed and every eye closed. One thing is needful, and that's to sit at the feet of Jesus. Serving is so important, but if we're going to continue to serve without distraction, without discouragement, and without distress, we need to worship the Lord. We need to plug in. Sure, we can keep it going on our own for a while, but in the end, that power is going to run out. We need the power of God that comes through worshiping Him. We're not going to have a musical invitation tonight, but the altar's open. Maybe you ought to just sit down and thank the Lord for the opportunity to sit at His feet. Maybe God's pricked your heart or spoken to your heart tonight, and you ought to say, God, I pray that You'd help me to worship more. As I said, the answer isn't to serve less, it's to worship more. Spend time at the feet of Jesus. One thing is needful. And as Jesus said, Mary had chosen the good part. It's a choice. We make the choice every day, every opportunity, every time the doors are open, to sit at the feet of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this day. I just thank You for, again, the opportunity we had to be in church tonight. And Lord, I thank You for the message tonight, Lord, the truth that we see in Your Word. And Lord, I pray that as we leave this place, our hearts wouldn't, that our hearts would be challenged, Lord, to worship You more and to continue to serve as You've already called us. But Lord, I pray that our desire and our commitment to worship You would grow even more. Lord, I pray that You would just bless us now as we're dismissed tonight. I pray that You give us all safety as we travel home. Lord, I pray that You bring us back at the next appointed hour, ready to hear from You again. For it's in Christ's name we pray.